one of the things that I wanted to convey, or at least a few of the things I wanted to convey, is that the community, first of all, of course, had been traumatized. We had been wounded by this particular event, but it was, in a sense, a continuation of historical wounds that the community has experienced.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you're listening to Into the Fold. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. The last couple weeks of March were a tense time for the city of Austin, Texas. A series of package bombings shook the community and made national headlines. This tragedy hits close to home for many in Austin, including those of us who work at the Hogg Foundation. The two individuals who lost their lives, Anthony Stephen House and Draylen Mason, both had connections to the University of Texas's Division of Diversity and Community Engagement, of which the Hogg Foundation is part. Anthony's stepfather, Reverend Freddie Dixon, has been involved with DDCE since the division's inception, and Draylen was a member of Austin Soundwaves, a program of the Hispanic Alliance, a DDCE community partner. This tragedy affected our friends and our coworkers. In response, in partnership with Austin Public Health and Counterbalance ATX, we organized an event called Hope for Healing, which took place at the Connolly Guerrero Senior Activity Center in East Austin, the area of town where a number of the bombings occurred. The event offered dialogue, healing, and connection, and included candid conversation about what we all experienced, advice on how to deal with the stress that often follows tragic events, how to discuss these things with children, and how to recognize when someone might need support. Attendees also received a list of culturally competent mental health providers and other resources for those who need help with coping. One of the featured speakers was Joseph Parker, senior pastor of David Chapel Missionary Baptist Church in Austin. He is here with us now to talk about the role that faith has to play in community responses to and ultimately recovery from trauma. In our second segment, we'll drop in on the event and talk with some attendees about their experiences. But first, Pastor Parker. Here's a snippet from his remarks at the event.
And so we're talking about the wounds of the spirit, is how I'm looking at it. But let me suggest to us that even though the precipitation of this conversation might have been the recent bombings, I refer to it as a moment of aggravated trauma. This is what I mean in the Austin context. Of course, we know that those of us who are African descent, we still live with some trauma just from that experience. Putting that aside, Austin specifically has a 1928, I believe, zoning issue that put all of black folk over here. I know, I've been here 39 years now, I know that Austin, particularly the African American community, is traumatized going as far back as 1928, wounded. I hear the stories about my church is 94, will be 94 years old next week. And I hear the stories of the families that have come up. And I hear the things, the promises that have been made that tells me that we have been traumatized. And so then there are things that happen in our community that aggravate the trauma, not the beginning of it.
Now he's here with us. Pastor Parker, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
Okay, so for those who weren't able to make it, and the event was a few weeks ago, perhaps you can kind of recap some of what you said or came there to share, and what is it that you felt compelled to get across?
Well, the impetus, of course, for the event, Hope for Healing, had to do with an event that traumatized the community, not only the city of Austin proper, but Central Texas in a lot of ways. And it was focused upon a recognition that trauma, as we learned at this particular event, one of the mental health experts identified trauma as having its root in the word wounds. And so we went from there to develop how our community had been wounded more recently by this event relative to the bombs. And of course, one of the things that I wanted to convey, or at least a few of the things I wanted to convey, is that the community, first of all, of course, had been traumatized. We had been wounded by this particular event. But it was, in a sense, a continuation of historical wounds that the community has experienced for a variety of reasons. And I referenced some historical points, particularly with regard to the African-American community and residential segregation. The other thing I wanted to convey was that there are some community resources, particularly from a religious perspective. And I am most familiar, of course, with the Christian perspective. And so I wanted to offer that there are resources within the Christian faith that can help one to cope and heal from not only trauma from this particular event, but from trauma woundedness altogether. And in fact, at the core of the Christian faith is that we live in a state of woundedness in a variety of reasons. And so at our core, we seek to provide hope to those who need that.
Okay. And so the bombing perpetrator was at large for a number of weeks, and the community was on high alert for fear of additional bombs. What were those weeks like for you? How was your own world affected, and did you know any of the victims?
Well, of course, you introduced some of those persons who were touched by this, family members. I know the mother and stepfather of Brother House. I know the grandparents of Draylen Mason. And all of those are friends of mine. And so I reached out to them immediately when it was when those persons had been identified. So there was an immediate impact because of those friendship relationships that have preexisted for decades. Beyond that, the weeks were tough. And I think the whole community was on edge. I think that in a lot of ways, it caused the community to live, to modify their living, not only in those immediate weeks, but I think people have been affected by that ever since. And I think we will be, particularly as we look at our the ways that we move throughout the city. And what I mean by that is, it's interesting to me that in the very beginning, when it was publicly shared, the first two bombings of those that we mentioned, there was a perception that the African-American community was targeting, mm-hmm. being targeted in some particular way. And I think I know I felt that way, and I know others felt that way. And I would dare say my assessment is that the whole city felt that way, and at least were suspicious, which is an interesting observation, because merely by the victims being African-American in communities that have at least been historically perceived as African-American, it then allowed those factors to be bootstrapped into a larger view that blacks were being targeted. And so there was also a line of communication that was going out, given the prominence of the two families from whom these first two victims came, whether or not there was a targeting of a socioeconomic class. And what was it about? And of course, we all know that where there are no answers, people provide the answers themselves. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things not known. And so people were going off of that. And I think it also tied into an underlying perception that there is racism in this city that is considered to be progressive. And those of us who come out of a perspective of being colored black or brown, we know that it is not as progressive in reality as some project. And so it was not a difficult place to go that our community was being targeted. And of course, we know that there is a rising sense of white nationalism and the KKK and so forth, anti-ethnic groups. And so it fed into all of that. And in my own behavior, not knowing whether or not I might be a target given my involvement in the community, it caused me to be concerned about answering the door when people would, if someone were to come by, even a delivery person would come by, particularly if I was not expecting it. I find myself when there were packages that had been delivered and I would just see something outside my front door, I would, rather than open the front door, I would go around my garage and I would look to see where the package was from, because at that time it was said that the packages were not being delivered by, quote, legitimate delivery services.
Right.
And so even now there is a reservation, apprehension about unexpected deliveries that come to my home. And so I think all of that could fit under a category of woundedness. People may resist the word trauma, but I would say that woundedness exists, and therefore I would fit into that category of persons who were wounded by this recent incident.
Yeah, and so as you saw the community's reaction to this tragedy, I mean, what do you think are the most important takeaways?
Well, I think either spoken or unspoken, it helped us to understand the interconnectedness of our community. And again, not having enough information, not being able to discern a pattern, not knowing motivation, I think the whole city then came under that, and therefore we all were joined together. And one of the things I think I said at our gathering, the Hope for Healing, was in a sense it brought unity.
Yeah.
And you saw that in a lot of different ways, whether it included the community meetings, whether it was just comments made on news and the talk around town. I think it grew to a sense that everybody felt that they were affected by it. And so I would say that's a good thing in terms of interconnectedness, that we are all touched, that there's no one community that is isolated, because Austin really is in function a system. And you touch one part of the system, the whole system is affected. So I think we are probably still in that place, although the fear, the apprehension has probably lessened because we are removed from it. But we are still seeing things such as what you're doing right here, such as murals that are going up, other conversations, scholarships and things. Mm-hmm. And I think we are finding the community is responding to that.
So you're originally from Alabama.
Yes.
Correct. How long have you been in Austin, and have you ever experienced anything comparable to this, either here or any place else that you can speak of?
Well, I was raised in Birmingham, actually, in the late 50s and 60s. My father was a Baptist preacher. He was a friend of Dr. King's. He participated in the founding of the Montgomery Improvement Association when he and Dr. King pastored in Montgomery together. And then the late 50s, I guess 57 or so, my father and we moved from Montgomery to Birmingham, and that's where I was actually raised. And since that was the heat of the, at least, Alabama civil rights movement, my father continued his involvement with Dr. King in Selma, in Birmingham. And as a result of that, my father would take me to bombing sites there in Birmingham when they would take place. And I remember A.G. Gaston's built businesses being bombed. He was a black millionaire in Birmingham. I remember going with my father and Dr. King as a young boy to Reverend A.D. King's home. He was the brother of Dr. King, who was living and pastoring in Birmingham then. I remember going to the 16th Street Baptist Church with my father that afternoon, or that after our Sunday worship, and smoke was still rising from the site. Really, my recollection is that smoke could still be seen and smelled from all of those sites. So I saw bombings, and that was the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that here I go again, experiencing something in the 21st century that I thought was behind us. And of course, my initial reaction was that this is about race. And so it took me back to a preteen, because I was about 11 or 12, I think, then. Took me back to a preteen experience. And my parents, I think, did a good job of keeping me from having fear. I don't recall being fearful, even in the midst of what was going on with Birmingham and the marches and the protests and even the segregation that I lived in, was raised in. I never had a sense of fear. And I don't know if I would even call my reaction to this most recent incident fear. I think I was apprehensive. I was concerned. I was, I had not yet, although I wondered if it might touch me directly, I had not gotten to a place of concluding that I'm a target. And so that's why I say I didn't have fear. And so in my experience and recollection, my childhood experience growing up in Birmingham with the bombings there, and of course, growing up in segregation and some experiences that I had in integrating my high school in Birmingham could fit into similar wounds and trauma. But that would be it. I don't recall anything else in Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had floods and things of that sort. But again, I think if you were not directly affected by it, or if, for example, unless you had like a church member or somebody who was affected, you did not have that kind of trauma as a personal experience. And so I don't know of anything in the city. And I've been here since 1979. I came here to go to law school at UT. And so I've been here that long, and I cannot recall anything coming close to what we just recently experienced.
Okay. So ours is a secular organization that focuses on mental health, but we understand that faith is an important factor of resilience, particularly in communities of color. What would you say the mood has been like in your church, and have you seen people using, you know, faith resources to cope with this?
Yes, I think yes, they've used faith resources to cope with this. I consider myself in the Christian faith, one of our sacred books in the New Testament is Ephesians, and there's a chapter, the fourth chapter in the book of Ephesians, where it speaks to pastors being equippers of people to do ministry. And I see myself as an Ephesians 4 pastor, where one of my responsibilities is to equip the people to do ministry, to serve. And that has shaped my pastorate. I'm about to go into my 26th year at David Chapel And so that has been what has shaped my pastorate and my approach over the years. And so it did not take this incident for me to begin to equip them to handle traumatic experiences in their lives. That's been part of what I have preached to and part of what I've taught to. And so I think that the people who have been with me in my pastorate had already been firmed up in ways because of my own approach to preaching and teaching. And so we had already dealt with them on how to deal with woundedness that comes to them from a variety of ways. I've been involved with trying to prevent domestic violence and, of course, racism and all of that. And so I preach to those issues. I bring in experts. And one of the reasons that I was thankful for the opportunity to participate in the Hope for Healing is a number of the persons who were part of that are members of the church and professionally deal with mental wellness and health in their careers. And I believe part of my equipping responsibility is to not just tell my members to pray about it, but I want to equip them and expose them to specialists because my training and experience is limited and I can only go so far with them. And so even though the Hogg Foundation is a secular foundation, a secular organization, in my mind, it is a partner with the faith community and certainly with our church in terms of being resources, information, and a number of the people that I participated in, a number of the mental health things, particularly with regard to the erasing stigma, particularly in the African-American community, where many of our people still have a stigma about getting counseling and therapy and things of that sort. And I consider that part of my responsibility to help remove the stigma, at least for those who come under my leadership.
If you go to our website, hogg.utexas.edu, you can find the blog post that we wrote back in April titled, In Times of Tragedy, We Are Stronger Together. Not only does it contain our, you know, heartfelt feelings for those who are impacted, but also links to resources and websites for those who may have some need for coping resources. And so we really hope that you check that out. Pastor Joseph Parker, it's been a pleasure, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much as well.
I was lucky enough to attend the Hope for Healing event and take part in some of the dialogue. Here are some snippets of reflections from some of the people in attendance.
Extremely important, because this kind of event we need to have often, more of this. So because this topic is extremely important, dealing with trauma and the faith is what we really need to go by serving. You serve because you have a faith that, you know, you have a creator that sent you here for purpose.
I'm invested in community, you know, and for one, in addition to that, I understand trauma. You know, and understand how the potential of the events, you know, that happened a few months ago can lead to trauma. So I was really interested in, you know, being a part of it and, you know, being here to help, you know, however I can.
You know, one of the things that we need to recognize is that trauma is happening all over the place. It's not just the recent bombings that are causing people to be traumatized, but it's a number of events that have happened prior to the bombings that have recently occurred here in Austin. People are being traumatized by the shootings that are happening all over the country, the shootings that are happening here in Austin, especially when it comes to people of color. People of color in particular have a history of trauma that they haven't addressed or that they have just neglected on multiple levels. And now what is happening with events like shootings and bombings, all of that trauma that they have repressed or not dealt with or addressed over the course of time is starting to bubble up to the surface, and they're starting to be triggered, and it's starting to manifest in ways that they need someone, resources to learn how to deal with it. This was the beginning of a conversation that can help a community to start the process of healing.
I think it was quite important for me to attend this event today to hear what others have been feeling about the recent bombings and how they have been responding to their anxiety or any other type of concerns that they have, but mostly their feelings. And I wanted to share how I've been feeling about it and see what we could do to move in a positive direction to make people comfortable again.
And that does it for this episode of Into the Fold. As ever, if you have any thoughts, suggestions, or ideas for future content, just let us know. Visit our website at hogg.utexas.edu. This is Ike Evans. Thank you so much for joining us.